You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Raiders of the Lost Fart.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, January 20th, 2023. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, that's Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to Tassie, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And over yonder, making the magic happen, super producers, JD and JK. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like the video. Make sure you can hear us right now. And comment away there in the stream team. Sorry for that little hiccup off the top. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs, everything available. Send in your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. I'm sure we'll hit the beach at some point next week. Or you can tweet in your questions at nodunksinc. That's INC. On today's drop, Tass, of course, on a Friday, you got your worst of the week nominees. Mm-hmm. You got a good crap for us? You goose them?
I'm cropping them.
Okay, nice. We'll also take a look at the first wave of players announced in the Top Shot 50. We'll have some fun with that. And we'll send you into the weekend with a little rapid-fire fun. But let's start with the games last night. We had some very entertaining ones, especially that finals rematch. Celtics beating the Warriors in overtime to win that finals rematch. What is that game? I guess it would be game 8, because they already played once this season.
I forgot about that part, yeah.
They took care of business. In the end, a very, very entertaining game. 121-118. Any big takeaways from Tass Mellis on that game?
Well, it felt like the finals because the Warriors went small. You remember in the finals, they said, Kevon Looney, get to the bench. We're going with Otto Porter Jr. in the starting lineup. Now it's Jordan Poole in the starting lineup instead. Going small looked like it worked. Because they were able to slow down Jason Tatum. I thought Poole was pretty good defensively, actually. And then it came down to the final 7 minutes where the Warriors, yeah, they were up. Despite Al Horford doing Al Horford stuff. Al Horford, because he was the big man on the floor, he had to be guarded by Andrew Wiggins. He was doing the too small thing multiple times. Oh. Al Horford. I never thought I'd see the day that Al Horford would be doing that on a floor. Is it cool now to be doing it?
Oh, you mean once Al Horford does it,
yeah,
it's not cool anymore?
It's done.
It's over?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
I think we've reached another step. I think we've got to – something else got to happen. Okay. Something else. We got to evolve. The kids will come out with something else.
Yeah,
because,
they'll be on to the next thing soon.
Yeah, it's a little too much. Anyways, the Celtics were down 8 with 7 minutes left to play in the fourth, but they were able to use their size. They went downsized themselves to adapt to the Warriors' play. Either playing Horford at the five or Robert Williams at the five, not going too bigs. So you saw Steph Curry be able to get into the lane to make it a three-point game with 28 seconds left, and then bang, Jaylen Brown hits a three on the other side after a flub by Jordan Poole to tie it to go into overtime. So, yeah, the Celtics ran away with it in overtime, but I think the Warriors' lineup change makes them feel confident against this Boston Celtics team. It was fun going down to the wire, but I think they feel like they can beat this Boston Celtics team. And it was weird to see Jason Tatum's game where he had a bad shooting night, although, you know, he left the floor in the first quarter and sat down. That was his last rest for the entire game, which was pretty neat. Played the second quarter, the third quarter, the fourth quarter, and overtime, but didn't shoot well, contributed in other areas, even though he turned the ball over 7 times. I think the Warriors feel pretty good. I think Steve Kerr really going for it with that small ball lineup, really trying to spark something in the Warriors this second half because they haven't been Warriors like. They haven't been what they were last season.
That was a real game of basketball. Like, it felt like a playoff atmosphere. It was such a great game that Eshua, he was an Atlanta Hawks fan yesterday. Apparently now he's a Boston Celtics fan after last night. That's pretty crazy to me. They could turn just like that. But when you see Brown, Horford, Tatum all hitting huge threes down the stretch, I thought that was big. You're right, Jordan Poole, he was competing in that game, but massive brain fart to completely lose Brown for a wide open three there after Horford had just hit one. Draymond said, I can't help Al Horford.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, that's as the Anthony Slater explained today at The Athletic, that's what happens when you don't play Kevon Looney. Because Looney wasn't in for the previous offensive possession, Celtics get the ball back, they don't call a timeout, and then they're able to take advantage of Poole being out there and just being a little bit of a space cadet. So Boston had 18 offensive rebounds. They got a ton of them in the fourth quarter. Golden State had 17 turnovers, almost a low number for them. So the possession game went to Boston, and that was good when neither team could shoot the ball. I do think Steph Curry should have pulled up from the logo at the end of the fourth quarter. After he hit the one at halftime,
that was amazing.
He should have taken another half-court shot. Nobody would get mad if he took it. It was a tie game. It would have been a better shot.
That was an amazing shot.
The Celtics, though, they tried to throw this thing away at the end.
Oh, Tatum had three.
They had some insane turnovers, like great defensive stop, turnover at half court multiple times. And then the near turnover, I think it was Jaylen Brown that actually ended up saving it on the far sideline there. This was that was awesome. That's basketball.
Yeah, Tatum has room to grow against the Warriors. That's for sure. He can play a lot better. But yeah, back to that shot real quick. It's cool for a guy who's won four championships in Steph Curry. Done it all. Call him whatever you want. Top 10 player of all time, top 5 player of all time, if that's your thing. To be doing something different than he's ever done. I don't think he's ever done that. A steal at half like that.
Steal and a pull-up. That was so cool.
That was money.
I know. It is weird with, I mean, with Curry, it's like when he got the steal, you're like, he's going to hit that. Like you're thinking it's going to be weirder if he doesn't hit it.
Right.
And I can't think of many other players in history where you would think a guy from half court at the end of a half is more likely to make it than not. But you did, and of course it goes in. But yeah, the one at the end of was that regulation there on the sideline in front of the bench, fading away. I mean, it's Curry, so there's no really truly bad shot, but I'm with you, TK. Just facing up probably would have been a better shot. The Celtics, bigs, though. I mean, more love for Horford with the 2010. Robert Williams, I thought, won them this game. And part of it is the Warriors going small and Looney not being out there for a good chunk of it. He only played 20 minutes. Robert Williams, though, in his 27 minutes of Time Lord, gets 7 offensive rebounds. And so many of those were, like, timely offensive rebounds to obviously extend the possession and end in a Celtics bucket. So, yeah, those two bigs. I mean, look, if we get this finals rematch again, no one's going to be upset. They play entertaining games. There's that differing of styles. Yeah, do you go really small? Do you go really big? Try and imbue them inside. Because you have Horford, he can still shoot. It's a great matchup between these two teams, and they gave us another entertaining one.
Yeah, I the coaches are going for it, that's for sure. Kerr making that coaching maneuver real, real smart. He's saying, let Al Horford do his too small and try and beat us. Let Robert Williams try and beat us while we'll try and take away the wings. And Joe Mazzulla, yeah, that really, really smart maneuver there at the end to not call a timeout because, the Jordan Poole flub of not covering Jaylen Brown happened because they couldn't go offense to defense and get their defensive lineup out there. Coaching, middle of the season. Pretty exciting.
I'll need somebody out there to do the research for me because this just might be my like selective memory. I feel like Jaylen Brown is lights out in overtime periods. I think this guy, like, he's such an athlete that he doesn't tire all that much and seems to be more explosive than a lot of people who have played 40 minutes up to that point. But somebody go fact check me on that, because it just feels like every Celtics overtime game I've seen over the last couple of years, it feels like Jaylen Brown, even if he's having a bad game through regulation, has a couple baskets, makes a big play and stuff like that. I feel like that guy is an overtime guy. I don't know if anybody agrees with me. Again, it's just like in my head, it feels like every Celtics overtime game, that guy makes like a couple big baskets and helps them get the victory more times than not. But somebody's gonna have to check that, because I'm not doing it. I couldn't even figure out how to do it.
he's 39% from the field in first overtime segments this year.
Okay, well, that's not amazing.
No,
not at all.
What about, I always think of him as a first quarter guy.
Well, yeah, he at times does that for sure.
Yeah.
He'll have those 15-point first quarters.
Yeah.
Last night he struggled, like 6 of 18. But then in the end, like, you know, Brown hits that big three. Tatum had a big three. Like, these guys didn't have great games, but man, they sure have a knack for timing.
I mean, Tatum had 34 and 19.
Well, yeah, but shooting the
ball. He didn't shoot the ball well, but nobody shot the ball well last night. So I think 34 and 19 in a poor shooting night, that's an awesome game.
Huge.
Looney should have played more. I think that was a mistake by Steve Kerr. I understand why he did it, but Looney was instrumental last year. So I think you see Boston crushing him on the glass, and that's a huge reason that the Celtics won last night. So Steve Kerr says he's going to keep rolling with Poole as the starting lineup because Poole plays a lot harder when he's in the starting lineup, and you can kind of hide him a little bit more since he's out there with better defenders. But Looney, man, he goes to the bench willingly. That's the good thing. It's like he doesn't care if he's starting or not starting, but he should be starting.
Yeah, it's a detriment to him because he's great coming off the bench while Jordan Poole plays better as a starter. So even though Poole's solid as a bench player, because Looney is so good coming off the bench, he says, all right, let's throw that guy onto the bench and see what we can get from Poole from the starting lineup. But Jason Tatum definitely can play better. Way better. He had 7 turnovers. Those ugly turnovers at the end. It felt like the finals again for Jason Tatum. So that's the thing. He can get better. So I guess there's some positivity from that side. But when they're playing pace and space out there, man, the shots are just going up. The Celtics had 108 shots in this game. Obviously, there's an overtime period. But
yeah,
still, that's a boatload. That's a lot. And the Warriors got up to 100 shots, too. So it was fun.
Yeah. No, it was a really fun game. All right. Well, let's keep it moving here. We're going to have to get on a plane and go overseas for this one. We'll go to Paris is where we're going to land. JD was just there. Zach LaVine scored 30 as the Bulls defeated the Pistons on the other side of the pond. Any thoughts there, TK?
Yeah. Les tours sont de retour. The Bulls are back.
Nailed it.
In French, suckers. The Bulls beat a bad team. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, true. Rare.
Throw a party right now. This was actually an entertaining game. Really back and forth. Definitely got out of hand at the end there. But it was an 8-point game with 7 minutes left. Detroit, though, then scored 5 points for the last 7 minutes of the game until garbage time. They got a couple of things there. Derrick Jones Jr., 4 really cool dunks. But the story is Zach LaVine, 30 points last night, 7 straight games with 25 or more. His first 20 games of the season, 21 points per game, 40% from the field, 35 from three. People were saying, this is a mistake of a contract. Get him out of here. Every other team in the league was like, sure, we'll take that guy. And guess what? Next 25 games, 26 points per game, 50 from the field, 40 from 385 at the line. He has gotten his legs under him, and the Bulls seem to be a little bit more of an equal opportunity team right now. They actually took care of business against a bad team, which has been their Achilles heel so far this season. But if you're saying that Celtics-Warriors felt like a playoff game, this honestly felt like an all-star game. Adam Silver even said, it's the closest thing to a European all-star game that we had. We had NBA legends all over the place, mostly either with French connections or Bulls or Pistons connections. Sometimes they had Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton out there. Both Bulls legends, of course. Wemby was sitting front row, which was cool. Pharrell was there. Adam Silver was there. Charles Leclerc, Pierre Gasly, and Esteban Ocon were there. And Skeets.
Yep.
Magic Johnson was there.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Honestly, it was looking good.
I was shaking him up your ass, man.
I was like, ooh, Magic's looking a little more trim and fit. And then I started thinking back to that video he posted of, like, he was on a vacation working out on his yacht.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking he might score, like, 4 or 5 points against me.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Might be a closer game. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And one of your favorites, obviously, Joakim Noah there, too, with quite a fit.
He was wearing a sweatsuit. He was wearing a sweatsuit with a wild robe over top, a cool crochet hat, and then Crocs. Crocs to seal it. He dressed up.
Joakim Noah got a fit off was the caption.
Yes.
Getting a fit off is just putting on whatever you want. And it just has to be a little loud. It could just be whatever you want, but you're getting a fit off. Mm-hmm. The stars that you just listed, that's all I was looking for, really. And I was hoping that Killian Hayes, born in America but played in France, grew up in France, would have a better game than that.
Yeah, he did not. Happen. He scored 4 points on 2 of 13 shooting.
And he's been playing so good.
Yeah, he has.
That
he
sucks.
Has. But he was really struggling to get it going.
Trey sucks. Not you.
Killian had some
sucks.
He had some nice dimes, I guess. It was the highlight reel for him. Also, Pistons rookie Jalen Duren. Remember, he had misplaced his passport. We didn't think he was going to make it over there and play in this game. He ended up getting that all settled. Played, had a perfect shooting game. 4 for 4 from the field, 11 points, 12 boards.
He was good, yeah.
He played really well for the Pistons, but yeah, Bulls took care of business in front of all of the celebrities there, including, like you said, Silver himself.
There's a lot of people.
Court looked cool. Like it looked similar to the game in Mexico City. Not the design wasn't exactly the same, but like where it was in the paint and stuff like that, same sort of color palette. Yeah, looked fine. Right. I thought the crowd was into it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It wasn't dead.
It was loud. I kept explaining to the girls why they're hearing it in the broadcast in French in the backgrounds. I also saw there was a couple of lower thirds that popped up on the Bulls broadcast that said both Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan have now scored 25 or more points in 4 different countries.
Oh, wow.
The United States, Canada, yep. France, and then I think it's Mexico City for both of them. I think it was the fourth one.
That wasn't this season. That was their NBA career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Could have been against each other. I feel like we did have a Spurs-Wolves game in Mexico City once upon a time.
That was the one that was maybe delayed. With the
fog.
The fog or smoke?
Smog, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, what was that?
There was a haze of some sort.
Yeah. All right, any other thoughts on...
Nope.
No. No, Bulls Pistons in Paris.
Nah.
All right. Joel Embiid, 32 points. 76ers top the Blazers, 105-95. Philly's fourth straight win here, Tass. They're rolling. They're on this 5-game road trip out west. One more to go. And they won all of them. They're greedy, I guess, sort of Doc Rivers was saying. But they are now tied with the Bucks in second place, and Embiid he's on his 7th straight game with 30 or more points, and I love, watch a Sixers game from the start, because right now Embiid is killing teams, like, in the first 5 minutes of a game. Like, he's going out there with that mindset, setting the tone early. He had 10 points in the first 6 minutes, 17 at the half, and they got up a big lead, sort of. Blazers came back a little bit, but pulled it out in the end.
Yeah, I think Embiid's a little bit invigorated just because of the balance on this team now. Mm-hmm. With Maxey coming off the bench, he knows he can go hard for stretches instead of just being the focal point for 48 minutes. He can chill for a little bit, and because it's such a heavy usage team between him and Harden doing his thing, and yeah, they come in spurts at you now. They got a great rhythm going, great flow going. Maxey comes off the bench and is the energizer guy who plays at the end of the games, and was key in the fourth quarter in this one. So kudos to that guy. He's taken that in stride for a young player. Maybe not go that way for a lot of young players, but he is just taking it and run with it, and literally, because that's what he does. But it's helped this team. The balance is perfect because those two guys are so heavy usage. You don't get enough out of Maxey, and now it's happening.
Any thoughts on the Sixers' win streak here?
I think it's impressive that it's all on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all teams, if you're looking at the schedule, that you would say the Sixers should go out and beat them. The Jazz, Lakers, Clippers, and now the Blazers last night. But they are all on the road. So to stack up those wins to now be tied for second in the Eastern Conference, they've been, at worst, the second-best team in the East for the second quarter of the season, and seems to be working okay right now. People are very healthy. They seem to be buying into their roles, like Tass is saying. So for a little bit of a drama start season for Philadelphia, they've completely flipped it on their heads. And they got to be taken seriously, I do think, in the East.
Yeah, and Harden in this one, triple-double, 16 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds. I mean, the timing and accuracy as a playmaker, especially in the pick and roll there with Joel Embiid, is that is good luck trying to figure that out. Especially if Embiid has like the little jumper going from around that free throw line area, then it's a nightmare, because it's like he can pop out there, obviously can roll the rim. I think James Harden is, is James Harden the greatest bounce pass passer ever? I think that guy just throws incredible bounce passes.
He loves a pocket pass.
Yeah.
Just a little quickity.
He's on the short list in NBA history. And I was just on a podcast on, Wednesday, after we did two of our own, the NBA University podcast. We were trying to pick our Eastern Conference All-Stars, and we'll get to the voting results in a second. I think we'll make our picks on next week's drop. But anyway, we got into the debate of, like, James Harden, is he going to make his, 11th All-Star team here? Or will that good chunk of games he did miss, when you compare him to others like DeRozan or other players that'll be like right there possibly getting in, will he get bumped for that? But the way he's played recently, he's played like that James Harden all-star level. And it's not the 30 points a game. It's this playmaking and doing everything else.
And getting up to the second seed would help a lot with the coaches who definitely look at that, because they're right there. They're tied with the Bucks for the second seed, and the Bucks are dropping a little bit. The Nets are obviously dropping a little bit. They had that second seed for a while, so that would help a lot. What's helped a lot is just this. It's such a clear hierarchy now. If Embiid doesn't take a shot, okay, it's up to you, Harden. And so he doesn't have to think about getting Maxey involved anymore, really, until the end of the game. It's just those two dudes. So, yeah, he's good when he knows that it's his job, but it's a clear number one, number two for the first time, I feel like, in James Harden's career, that he's really just, you know, besides his OKC days, just giving it up to Embiid. It's working nice.
All right, this next game I tried to bury as deep as I could here in the rundown. D'Angelo Russell, he scored 16 of his, I believe, 25 in the fourth quarter as the Wolves beat the Raptors 128-126. People are saying the final nail in the coffin of the Raptors' shitty season here. We'll see what they do at the deadline, but a brutal loss. Taz, we can start with you on this. But just an absolute brutal loss by the Raptors, who scored 7 points in the final, basically 10 minutes of this game. In a game where they scored a lot of points, offense was not the issue. They're actually hitting threes, but their defense is a joke, and they can't stop anybody. And it feels like a wrap to me. We'll see what again they do at the deadline and all that, but they're not scaring anyone because they can't stop anyone.
Mm-hmm. I'll bury them even further. Let's talk about the Wolves. listen, Scotty was great. It was nice to see Scotty flowing. This is great Scotty right now. But yeah, enough with that. I think the Wolves are starting to play the best that they've played all season long in terms of a stretch here, getting so much from their role players.
Yeah.
They are balling. It's a kind of a if they get it going back when Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert come back, you'll look at this stretch and say, it was so nice for those guys to take on prominent roles because now they're balling. Like Kyle Anderson, especially in the starting lineup. I don't know what happens when they're entirely healthy. If Russell and Edwards are their backcourt and Gobert and Towns are their frontcourt and they want to start Jaden McDaniels, who is their best perimeter player who is balling right now, what happens to Kyle Anderson? But at least they have that problem. That's a good problem to have. The guy is so fun to watch, even if he is in slow motion. 20-10-6 in this one coming off a game prior to that. He was 13-11-8 coming off a game prior to that, 13-11-10.
Yeah.
This is exactly what they envisioned, the connector, that type of guy. And then you go deeper with Naz Reid, who is balling off the bench, Torian Prince, who is a great connector, Jalen Noel. This is the team that they envisioned, and I think they're having a great stretch, even though you know they're still under 500 currently and had tough losses. At least they're fighting and scrapping, unlike the other guys on the other side that we don't need to talk about. But the Freddie thing is interesting to me because the rumors coming up from our Shams Charania at The Athletic that the Suns are looking at him. I don't know. That's all I got to say. That's the most interesting thing about the Raptors, who they're going to trade, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. And it's really getting down to me. It's like, are they going to trade who? Because especially after a bad year for him, has played really well recently in Fred VanVleet. Like now this stretch is like, this is sort of the VanVleet that we sort of saw last year as an all-star for this little stretch, at least saving that trade value a little bit and all that. Does a team want him, still see him as a key piece, or is it OG Anunoby? And the latest report from Doug Smith, who covers the Raptors for a very long time, is that the price has maybe gone down a little bit for OG.
No way.
Instead of the old Donovan Mitchell package to get OG, according to Doug Smith, now it's two promising players, young players, and possibly a first-round pick, which I think is more in line with
way more
the
reasonable
value of an OG Anunoby. And I tweeted this morning, if the Pelicans wanted OG, I think they have the pieces to possibly make something happen there. They've got picks. They've got promising young players that they really could pick and choose from who they would offer to the Raptors. Raptors, as a Raptors diehard, I would want Trey Murphy III. I think Griff would say, no, we're not putting him in any deal. But maybe it's a Daniels. Maybe it's a Herb Jones. Maybe it's a Jackson Hayes. Maybe it's a Kira Lewis Jr. Anyway, you could get there. But yeah, you're right. We're just waiting to see which one they trade, I think. OG or VanVleet, it feels like to me. Would you agree from an outsider's perspective?
Those are the two names you're definitely hearing the most. And I guess with VanVleet's contract kind of coming to an end at the end of this season, he's got a player option for next year. That makes sense. Well, Gary Trent Jr. is in the same boat as VanVleet as well.
Right.
So I think those two guys are... Gary Trent Jr. feels like a guarantee to me. A Gary T to me. Mm-hmm. OG... Maybe so, just because so many teams are going to want him, especially contending teams. Like, both the Pelicans and Grizzlies should be after OG Anunoby, not to mention all the other teams. But they, like, timeline-wise, competitive-wise, he would be perfect for both of those teams.
I agree.
But I feel like Siakam is kind of off the board right now.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like to me.
Look,
who knows?
The second half of the Raptors season, I mean, it should just be Scottie Barnes, development, possibly even more as a playmaker, as the point guard. We saw some of that in this game. It's try and get some young pieces into this roster, try and find a center, some more point guard play, and it's likely lose a bunch of games, and part of that would probably be, I've said it a million times, people don't like to hear it, but the shutting down of particular star players like a Siakam. And maybe you don't even have to, because they don't play defense and they can't stop anybody. The Wolves caught a late flight on Wednesday night after playing in Denver in a close game with them. I think you lose an hour of sleep in that, you know, travel. There's no Rudy, there's no Carl, and they had all the excuses to lose this game, and it's still like the Raptors have no fight on the defensive end. And they couldn't put them away, too. Raptors were up, and then they just could not bury them because they just lack that. And so, again, yeah, Russell was huge in the fourth, and they deserved to win this game. Like, they took it from him. OG had a chance to win it at the end, had a good look, and he's struggling with the shot right now.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You
know what? I'm happy. I'm sorry. One more thing. I'm happy at this point. Because now the Raptors, which were usually at the top of my viewing list on any night that they're playing in the association, they're going down 2-3 slots. Like, now I will obviously check in and I'll keep my eye on them still. But I am now like, oh, Celtics Warriors. Yeah. Or this great game between two other teams. Now it's not like mandatory viewing when your team starts to like not have any backbone, and they're sort of crappy to watch.
Yeah, it's like when League Pass was invented. Watch the Raptors for years and years, and that was the only thing to watch.
And
then you could watch other good teams.
You're like, whoa!
That happened.
Oh.
We've talked about so many trade scenarios. I'm sure we've had an OG Anunoby to the Pelicans offer. We made a beautiful board. Jerome made a beautiful board.
Yeah.
It was. I think Herbert Jones was the big piece coming back, one of the pieces coming back, and another one, because it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade for the Pels to go from Herb Jones / Trey Murphy to OG Anunoby as the, you know, the defensive guy. We've done it.
I
was trying to look forward to DM it to David Griffin to say this is your template. Tinker, do what you want, but we've had some good ones.
On Twitter, I said Dyson Daniels, I said Jackson Hayes, Kira Lewis Jr. for OG with a pick, with a first-round pick. You know, people are going to say, make it the Lakers pick, whatever, a first-round pick. I had some people responding, Pelicans fans, apparently, they'd rather include Herb Jones than Daniels.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm not angry. I'm not that angry with that.
No.
I'm a Raps fan. So we can make this happen. Let's go, Griff. Let's do it on no dunks. We'll get Masai on the horn. We'll get Griff on the horn. We got a relationship with both of those people. There could be something there. Final game. Mikal Bridges scored 28. Suns beat the Nets to snap their skid, but the Brooklyn Nets continue to lose with no KD. Cam Johnson returned.
He's back.
Caught me by surprise. I didn't know this was happening, but he came back from a two-month injury there with that torn meniscus. He played all right. Off the bench, 19 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. You talk about a guy that's like a glue guy.
Absolutely.
Really helped them out. And they controlled most of this game. They were up 20. Then Kyrie went sort of nuts in the fourth quarter. Made it a game. But in the end, they lose again. Any thoughts, TK, on the Suns or Nets here?
Yeah, I guess Cam Johnson was just working on his free throws for the entirety of his injury. Went 9-for-9 at the free throw line. The Suns need points. So him coming back, being able to shoot, that was awesome. No surprise to me that Kyrie Irving sat out for the San Antonio Spurs game. Right back in the lineup for the national TV game, though. He waited too long to try and play in this one. 21 points in the fourth quarter, that's awesome. But the Nets were already down by 20, so you got to have a serious effort if you want to win games, even against a team that's really struggling like the Suns. And the Nets have not been able to do that since Kevin Durant went out of the lineup. It was going to be a question mark how they would respond to Kyrie being their leader during this time. And so far, off to a poor start. 0-4. Not a lot of fight in this one, except for Ben Simmons getting ejected happily, I'm sure.
Cam Johnson coming back. It felt like a breath of fresh air for the Suns there a little bit. I had no idea he was coming back for nearly 3 months, but I guess if you were watching his press conference pregame, I guess it was earlier in the game at shoot or earlier in the day at shoot around, he was basically saying, you know, we'll be back. We'll be back. This is just a storm that we got to deal with, and we'll be back. And yeah, the crowd felt like it was entirely different.
Yeah, they popped when he came in.
Prospective owner Matt Ishbia sitting courtside for the first time since it was announced that he's going to take the team from Robert Sarver. Eventually, that will happen, and so they felt good out there. They still don't have a lot of their players. They're basically their four-man guard rotation is out in Booker, Chris Paul, Shamit, and Campaign. But next 6-7 at home for the Suns, I think that breath of fresh air will continue a little bit here. I don't think it's done. They beat the snot out of the Nets, really. I mean, it was a fake comeback at the end.
Yeah.
So they got to feel decent. They got to feel as well as they have for the first time in a couple months, really. I mean, they've been playing pretty poorly, but this got to feel all right.
All right, let's get to the ballot box here. Giannis has overtaken Kevin Durant in the third and final fan voting returns for the 23 NBA All-Star Game in Salt Lake City. KD, who is out right now with a sprained MCL, he trails by, about 132,000, according to the updated release there on Thursday. If the Greek Freak finishes with the most votes in the East and LeBron holds on to his very comfortable lead in the West, then the All-Star Game will feature Team LeBron versus Team Giannis for the third time in history. Hmm. Yes, those would be our captains. Aside from that one leapfrog there at the top, notable movement with this new batch. Jason Tatum still holding on to that third front court spot with Embiid not far behind him, but maybe running out of time. And then in the guards in the East, we had Kyrie Irving and Donovan Mitchell, who are still 1-2 there and have separated themselves from the rest of the pack. Jaylen Brown, at least over 2 million votes. Any takeaways from the East here?
I mean, you hit on the big one. Giannis passing KD. KD has been fun in the All-Star drafts alongside LeBron. Giannis was also fun alongside, so I don't really care. Between those two, they're both going to put on a good show. And I do think it's interesting that Donovan Mitchell is catching Kyrie Irving. The gap between the two after the first returns, 400,000 votes. Second returns, 300,000 votes. Only 117,000 right now. Huh? So it's very close to the end of voting, but, you know, he's got a chance. And I think Donovan Mitchell deserves to be the Eastern Conference leading vote getter amongst the guards. He's been the most exciting guard in the Eastern Conference, and the Cavs have been a pleasant surprise for sure.
Yeah, I think those couple notes there, Giannis overtaking Durant, I think they should choose the team together. Because LeBron smokes whoever the opposing captain is. Five times.
Oh, so you think Giannis and KD should be able to co-captain? Yeah,
at least talk to each other.
Yeah, I like that.
Because GM LeBron, Captain LeBron, kicks the other team's ass.
He's never lost.
Five straight times under this new format. He's the king. He's 5-0. So
we've only ever had four actual captains, right? LeBron every year.
Yeah.
Curry has when they were in opposite conferences.
Yeah.
And then Giannis and KD. Okay.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Sort of funny.
Yeah, LeBron's unbeaten. It's a title. I don't know if he's ever going to lose it. So the other thing.
Do you think that will push him back, Michael Jordan, in the GOAT conversation?
Yeah, for sure.
Never lost an All-Star game.
As captain.
As captain, yeah.
Did you do that, Michael?
As captain, I guess.
Best All-Star captain ever.
Well, the other thing, you mentioned the guard rotation. Donovan Mitchell trailing Kyrie Irving, and then Jaylen Brown has solidified himself as number three there.
Yep.
I think Jaylen Brown's got a chance to start.
Right, when you include the media and then the players.
Yeah, because he's third, and even though that accounts for 50% of the equation, when you get to the players and to the media, when they do their thing, which will be a couple weeks from now, and the Nets may drop down in the standings a little bit, it's going to be close. It's going to be close for him to start with Donovan Mitchell, who I think will start no matter what. But I think he could surpass Kyrie as a starter.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
Two things sort of have to happen. One, the media will have to put Kyrie fairly low in their guard rankings, which they could, right? I mean, obviously Mitchell will be there. Jaylen Brown, you said. Halliburton, maybe Brunson, you know. And, you know, Kyrie's probably going to be somewhere between 3 and 5 is my guess. Maybe even 3 and 6
worst.
With the media. But the players, they're the real wild card here. Yeah. They love Kyrie Irving.
He might be as low as number one amongst the players.
I'm with you on that.
That's possible. Yeah, it's an outside shot for Jaylen Brown, but the more the Celtics create a gap at the top.
Yeah. Passing Harden gives them a chance, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the West. LeBron, Jokic, Anthony Davis, they remain at the top of the list when it comes to the Western Conference front court players. Zion Williamson, not far behind AD there. He hasn't played in a while, though, of course, Zion's out too. He's within striking distance. Meanwhile, in the backcourt, Steph Curry and Luka way ahead of Ja Morant.
Ja Romant.
Yeah. Ja Romance should be his nickname. And the rest of the backcourt.
That's a good, like, Valentine's Day card. Yeah. NBA Valentine's Day card.
Nice.
Trademark. No stealing.
So there you go. Any takeaways at all here from the Western Conference third returns?
Domantas Sabonis has entered the chat.
Yeah.
I would say that's the coolest thing here. He is now, is he number 10?
Yeah.
In the front court voting.
Fox and Sabonis are both 10th.
Yeah, so that's gonna hurt his chance of starting. You know, people have been talking him up as at least a starter, and you can tell he's getting more votes, finally showing up in the returns. I think it's interesting that he replaced Kawhi Leonard, who's actually been playing more than he has for the rest of the season. But people are tired of those Clippers right now, and they're fired up about the Kings, rightfully so. But, I mean, coming in 10th in the fan vote means you're not going to somehow work your way into the top three after the media and the players.
Right. Even
as well.
even if both of those put him in the starting, I don't think the weight will work in his favor.
I don't think the weights work.
I don't think so.
Anything else? It's interesting. Yeah. So Sabonis is there. Kawhi is off. People don't believe in the Clippers or aren't voting for the Clippers. Most people just.
Why would you want Kawhi Leonard in the All-Star game? He's just going to take it off.
Yeah. Well, that's a fair point.
True.
But I wonder. We all sit here and say, feeling like the Clippers just don't have it this season. I wonder if that's happening in their locker room. It's got to be happening at some point. It just has to.
Right.
They start thinking, doubting what's going on in that locker room. So I wonder that. Well, after seeing Kawhi slip, Paul George is still up there.
Yeah.
But All-Star voting closes tomorrow. We're talking here on Friday. Yeah. It's a 3-for-1 day if you're into that kind of thing.
It's a 3-for-1 day every fucking day. Why do they say this?
That's not right.
It is. It has been. This last week, it's been a 3-for-1 day every day almost. It's like driving me nuts.
You're probably right. I have no idea.
It's crazy.
It's always a 3-for-1 day.
Absolutely goosing the numbers. They want to see 5 million, 4 million, 3 million. Like, it's not really that. It's just this multiplying. It's so weird to me.
Yeah. Well, since today is the first 3-vote day we've had so far, get your votes in, but none of the votes that you make today can be for somebody who's in the top three in the front court or for the top two in the back court.
Oh, you just show a little love to,
We gotta at least try and help 4 through 10 here. This is our only shot.
I mean, yeah, Zion and Embiid really is what you should be focusing on if you want to get them in there. Yeah, Zion's fascinating. Like, I could see, I don't know about the players, but the media, I could see having Zion ahead of Anthony Davis, I would think. In a Western country.
Yep.
But then again, Sabonis, a lot of them are going to put Sabonis in that mix with LeBron and Jokic. So maybe not. Those will probably be our starters. It's what usually happens. That final return is like, oh, those are the guys. That's fine. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, worst of the week, nominees, and the Top Shot 50. We got our first wave. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hit the like button and subscribe, but let's get to Worst of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Worst of the Week.
Got three nominees for you guys. We shall debate which one will take home the honor for Worst of the Week. This week, there was a mural on the side of a bar in Dallas. It was a beautiful mural of Luka Doncic holding a sign which reads, "Please send help." He doesn't need it. The funny thing is, Mark Cuban, Mavs owner, sent an email to the muralist. And that's why he is the nominee for Worst of the Week. Not the muralist. Mark Cuban. Because his email read, quote, "It's disrespectful, but it's your choice to do what you want. If that's the way you want to be a fan, go for it." End quote. Wow. That's passive aggressive right there.
Yeah, disappointing dad vibes to that one. I'm not angry.
But that comes from a place of guilt to me. I'm reading into it. I'm playing doctor here, but why would you have to go out of your way to send an email to a person? This was verified from our friends at Mavs Moneyball, Preston Panic, the muralist. He painted a beautiful mural. You hate it?
Let's not go over.
Okay, beautiful is a strong word.
Totally
whatever.
Fine.
It's fine.
Quality mural.
Yeah, quality.
Quality may be a good
You know what? Now that I see it again, you're right. It is pretty good.
At
first, I thought those were phone numbers, like to call in to try and help, but those are just amazing stat lines from Luka this year.
Yeah. It's decorated with stat lines from Luka's year. Please send help. Obviously, pleading with the man, Mark Cuban, to make a deal for someone to help out.
Yeah.
So, Cubes. That's beneath you to try and go out and what's the
hold on? It worked. They took it down.
He made a trade.
They took the mural down. No, yeah, not the trade part. They didn't get help. Should have changed it to nudes.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. should have changed it to nudes.
Please send
I'm surprised
nudes.
They took down the whole mural though.
Yeah,
you could easily just paint over the sign part. Put up different signs. You know, like there's sign guy.
And just add a question mark even.
Yeah.
Please send help. It's not like it's demanding, right? Or lose the please. I don't know.
It must have been a timing thing, right? Like, did like Cuban just drive by? That's a question I would have. He's like, what? Wait a second. Let me check that guy's email. And then the timing was, you know, around the same time that the Tim McMahon ESPN article came out. So
yes.
You think Cuban was like, knowing this was in the ether, going to be dropping soon, can't have a mural and a written piece.
Hold on. You think Tim McMahon commissioned that mural? Is that what you're saying? Because I believe it. Ban McMahon. That's they call that for a reason, baby.
That's a good point.
Good stuff. Good stuff, everybody, except for Cuban. Anyway, second nominee here, it's Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford went on television with these hideous slippers if you're joining us.
I have these slippers.
I knew you do. That's why I included it. These North Face slippers. He went on NBA TV's handles with, if you know these slippers, I mean, it's basically like the jacket, puff, 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 puff on a slipper.
Yeah.
He went on TV. You can wear things on TV and call it fashion. You know they're ugly, right?
Oh, yeah. My wife hates these. I mean, you know who got them for me? Your buddy, Grish, got me these. Because he had a pair. I was like, well, damn, those look comfortable. Like, they look indestructible. Look warm, of course. So he's like, I'm going to get you a pair. Got me a pair. Nora hates them. She's like, you look like a fool in those.
Oh, yeah, they have.
I mean, they come in lots of colors. There's different versions
now.
They
have a backing.
Now they do. There's different ones. Apparently, those are better.
But they're not indestructible. They're just they're softies.
No, but they've got a nice
You got a hard sole on there?
Yeah, like a not super
firm,
super hard, but
like
yeah,
a firm midsole, yeah. Little yeah. Birkenstock.
They feel like
you?
A great indoor outdoor slipper. Uh-huh. Though you know I have opinions about that. I don't think you should be walking around.
Yeah, those are just outdoor slippers.
Exactly. Yep.
Trey has the more indestructible slipper that I think we all have.
Oh, he's got the from the Hallmarker Slammer catalog ones. Those are bricks, man.
Yep, yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly right. But the cool thing is that Laura thinks they look so good. My Hallmarker slipper.
No, she doesn't.
No, slippers look good.
It's a good yeah. Take.
Name an attractive looking slipper. My indoor slippers, I wear an L.L. Bean Wicked Good slipper, look like elf shoes. They look completely ridiculous.
I agree. I'd extend it to sandals are ugly too. I don't think there's a good looking sandal out there. Right?
Yeah. Well, you gotta see people's feet is a big problem with sandals.
That's a part of it.
Yeah.
But he's wearing those on national television. I love it.
That's crazy.
He was all about, like, I heard that clip. I saw that clip. He's like, I'm all comfort, man. Who cares?
Yeah.
And they are comfortable.
Yeah, he wore them. I guess he wore them on TNT the same night, I imagine, because they do the kick cam.
Kick cam, yeah, sure.
Did
I saw
wear them on that? Wow.
I guess so.
But he's behind the desk.
No, they have
the open desk open on desk. That one on Tuesdays.
You're right. They got the open desk. You're totally right.
I don't know. I
saw
like
Adam
Left
Coast Chunky Dunks. They're showing those Chunky Dunks with his green outfit. Shout out to Lefko.
Yeah, the Lefko, that's why I know they had the open desk. Also, Candace Parker was wearing green that day. That's where the Shaq green joke comes from. You know who Lefko's favorite player is? Danny Green. Ba-doom-tsh. Because they're both wearing green. And I think Jamal Crawford, yeah, as well, wearing the slippers.
Okay.
So I went to my games weekend this past weekend in Toronto. Everybody brought slippers to the cabin. Not everybody, but there's a lot of slippers going around.
Travel slippers should be more...
You're saying you're not a slipper guy. You're not.
I do. I brought slippers, actually.
Oh, you did? Yeah. But that was like a part of the costume?
Yeah, part of the costume, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we were Zoom on the bottom, business on top. What?
No.
I mean, it's a Zoom costume, so business on top, comfortable on bottom.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we all. I guess that was part of it, but I just weird seeing so many slippers.
But you want
there.
A slipper at a guy's cabin weekend? I mean, it's just a lot of crap.
What's going
everywhere.
On?
Just dirt. Nobody's clean.
Nobody's clean.
You
want
to
Nobody's
ruin your
clean.
Socks?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to go barefoot.
Great time. Anyways, all right, we'll get to the third nominee. But first, I want you two here at the desk to close your eyes for this one. Trey Skeets, please close your eyes.
All right.
At home, I'm going to show you a picture of a coaching staff from 9 years ago. In the middle is head coach Mike Budenholzer.
Okay.
Just to the left of Bud is current Lakers head coach Darvin Ham.
Okay.
To the right of Bud... current Grizzlies head coach, Taylor Jenkins.
Okay, why are our eyes closed?
Because just imagine this. I think I came up with this. I came up with this at the cabin because this is just beyond imagination to see a coaching staff of this stature. Okay, so I've given you three.
Okay.
I've given you three that are current coaches, head coaches in the NBA. Now, to the far left, if you're watching on YouTube, Kenny Atkinson, a former head coach. Could have been a head coach if he wanted. Yep. And on the far right,
I'm imagining him.
Is there a Quinn?
There's a Quinn.
Yeah.
Quinn 1 and Snyder, the bad guy. Looks like he could be a villain in the Marvel character universe. So we've got five head coaches on the 2013-2014 Hawks coaching staff. So that's the worst of the week nominee. The 13-14 Hawks. How did you let this dream team get away? Look at that.
We're allowed to look now.
Speaking of dreaming, my eyes are still closed. I'm like falling asleep.
Whoa, this looks totally different than I was imagining. I mean, Mike Budenholzer, Darvin Ham, Taylor Jenkins, no beards.
No.
They all got beards now.
Hold on. This looks like five guys went to a cabin for the weekend and were doing Zoom costumes. So this looks like. Let's see the bottoms. Let's see those North Face slippers and the pajama
slippers.
Pants.
You got Schlemmers, Kenny?
But this came out this week. I mean, it has been out for 9 years, but it was brought to life this week by Brett Usher. Everyone was shocked. The talent on that coaching staff. The Bud coaching tree has been budding and blooming since then. All those guys got head coaching jobs. A few of them currently head coaches, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear those names?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, wow.
Did
you
hear
them?
Say them again.
Hold on, let me close my eyes.
Say them again. Yeah, I need to hear the order again.
That is peyote. That is fodder for the nerds out there to see those five head coaches together. I think I saw that while I was at the cabin, and I just couldn't let it go.
Rhino, you see this? Yeah. Kenny Atkinson standing next to Darvin Ham, man. This is wild stuff.
Those guys could have been all head coaches today. Kenny Atkinson took a job right now, he could have had the Charlotte job. He said no.
Yeah.
Quinn's been fired anyways. It's just three of the five currently, but wow. That was the third nominee. The 13-14 Hawks. What are you doing? Could have been great. Could have been great.
Can't believe they broke it up, man.
Yeah, they would have won the ship for sure.
Blow it up.
That's it. Three nominees. You let us know. Is it the
13-14? What happened to the other one?
I let it go.
Why? I put it in the title of the damn podcast.
I saw you did that, and I thought it was okay. I don't think people were clicking over for DeJounte Murray's comments about the Spurs.
You don't think so? Oh, no. They're clicking over to see a photo of the 2013-14 Hawks coaching staff.
Unfortunately, they're not, because he didn't put it in the title.
Jesus.
Or else they would have.
DeJounte Murray, a well-deserved.
Hey, great job. Hold on. Before we move to DeJounte Murray, we can talk about it. Great job. I threw everybody off there with the fake DeJounte Murray. Thanks to JD and Ash for making that happen. Because I just wanted you guys to have a pure vision in your head.
That was nice, pure vision, actually. I did like that.
Anyways, talk about
it was
DeJounte
like a
Murray.
Surprise party over here.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
So fun.
We're lurking in the woods.
Well, DeJounte Murray recently goes on All the Smoke talking with Barnes and Stephen Jackson. Yeah. And they're it's a long podcast. I believe it's like 2 hours long. So a whole bunch is talked about, but the one clip that everybody's pulled out and are going, whoa. Was DeJounte Murray sort of like criticizing how the Spurs handled him and the whole situation with Tony Parker, how he suddenly just left once DeJounte Murray took over the starting point guard spot, and Parker's like, I don't want to mentor you, and he's gone. I mean, this is from Murray's side of things, obviously, and his feelings on the matter, but I mean, he wasn't holding back on, I thought, him criticizing the Spurs organization a little bit, or at least, again, how they treated him as a rook and coming up. And I think he went a little overboard. But again, it's just a clip pulled from it. I get all that.
Yeah.
But they made him a starter in what, year two?
Year two.
He got injured, and he still got paid. And he was an all-star and like given an opportunity. It was a little weird.
Yeah, so I don't know who to give Worst of the Week nomination to in that regard. DeJounte Murray, because he was vocal about it, but he's allowed to say his piece.
Well, of course
he seemingly went a little overboard. I mean, he kind of sent two things. He said they brought Tony Parker and myself into the room. Pop said, you know what? We're going to give the job to DeJounte Murray Park. And he didn't like it. That's according to DeJounte Murray. He didn't like it, and he didn't stick around to really mentor me. Okay. So maybe it's Tony Parker. Worst of the week, Tony Parker for not mentoring.
What was the second part, then?
Well, he basically said the Spurs – they just didn't really love me all that much. is what he was saying. He kind of said, from my background from the hood, precipitated that they just didn't love me all that much. And he kind of likened himself to Steven Jackson. He said, I heard your name, Jack, back when you were with the Spurs and you left. That's basically all he said. I don't know. It's kind of hard to give it to the Spurs as well.
He did show love to the Spurs organization within this entire podcast, too. I mean, you don't get that.
No clip for
that. You get that just this clip, but okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, we covered it.
I'm not changing
the
headline.
I don't know what you think. No,
still got it in. It's nice. Yeah.
Pull him in. I think DeJounte Murray's name is going to get a few more clicks than Budenholzer.
Yeah, well, we could add it though. Yeah.
I'll change the thumbnail to the staff.
2013-14 Hawks.
Yeah.
A picture of their coaching staff.
Do you have any thoughts, takes on this DeJounte Murray clip going around here from All the Smoke?
It was surprising to me when I went and looked at his basketball reference page that he was a starter in his second year. And he's like, they didn't let me play.
And he played as a rookie in the playoffs, which he does say too.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think he has, a fair criticism, I would say, of Tony Parker. But also, like, that's Tony Parker's prerogative to be like, I'm a Hall of Famer. I want to keep playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of weird that his career ended in Charlotte just because they wanted to turn the keys over to DeJounte Murray. But I do think speaking to Steven Jackson probably influences a lot of these takes here because there aren't a lot of guys who have bad things to say about the Spurs. It's kind of been Kawhi, Steven Jackson, and now DeJounte Murray. So maybe they're piling up a little bit. But it's just strange to hear from the Spurs, especially since it felt like they did give Murray an opportunity and built him up to all-star status.
Mm-hmm. Can I give one more nominee
for
Worst of the Week?
Oh, yeah.
These.
Thumbs?
Thumbs. Worst of the Week to Thumbs. This is not a shot at Lee Ellis, okay? Mavericks, Christian Wood to miss multiple games with a broken thumb. He's going to be reevaluated next week. This isn't good. He's like their second best player. Dallas struggling a little bit here. Please send help. Please send nudes. Please send thumbs. Put it on a mural. And then also, Knicks center Mitchell Robinson. He's going to be out 3 weeks at least. He had surgery already to repair a fractured right thumb. This is bad. You know, if you listen to the podcast or if you watch us here, I'm always talking about how important Mitchell Robinson is to the Knicks' success. He is. That guy, like, he is not filling up a box score, but he's like that classic big guy in the middle, flirting with a 10-10 every game, couple blocks. You know, he contests shots. He's the screen assists. He does the little things that you want from a big guy, and this is a bad, bad loss, I think, for him. Three weeks. I mean, we thought maybe he missed a game or two. Surgery and at least 3 weeks. So, thumbs.
Thumbs crossed on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you cross your thumb?
It's impossible.
Yeah,
it's impossible. If you do it, you accidentally make a bird.
Yeah, exactly.
Isaiah Hartenstein, though. People talked a lot about that guy in the offseason. Maybe he'll do
something
now.
Here, yeah. Him and Sims. Yep. We're going to get some more minutes there. But, yeah, that sucks for those two big guys with the fractured, broken thumbs there.
Yeah, the Mavs can't catch a break.
All right.
Let me I want to add another.
It's January, baby. Everybody mad.
Chuck Swirsky. Worst of the week nominee.
Why?
Chuck. He posted a picture of himself next to the Mona Lisa yesterday.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Which I find annoying in general.
Selfies with the Mona Lisa?
Selfies with the Mona Lisa. Okay. But also, while I was in the Louvre 20 days ago. 21 days ago. It was New Year's Eve. And at one point, it was packed. And at one point, they blocked off an area that we couldn't go into for whatever reason. They're like, come back in 5 minutes. And if you've been to the Louvre, it flows, you know, you gotta move around. So I suspect that it was some fucking VIP tour in there.
Yeah.
And when I went to the Mona Lisa room, there was a lineup of at least 200 people waiting to get next to the Mona Lisa. And I bet that Chuck Swirsky did not wait in that
Give me a break.
No, they closed down the museum for Chuck Swirsky. You're right.
Not the museum, but the room. For the Bulls.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Fuck that.
You don't think they were waiting
nobody.
To get
There's the nobody. A fucking prime minister walking through. Everybody waits in line to see that goddamn portrait.
Which is a waste of time.
It's a waste of time anyways, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
But still. So Chuck Swirsky.
Oh, man.
And I, you know what?
No, I love Chuck.
We love Chuck. We love Chuck a lot. And and I don't even know if that's the case. But it just got my dander up. I saw the picture and I was like, this guy.
You said since I was last at the Louvre, was they didn't have this like snake system that you sort of just sort of get to go buy it.
You can go down the sides of it, but there is like a bank style snake, you know, like stanchions that you have to watch. I guess it's kind of smart actually, because you know, I'm willing to wait. I'm gonna get a selfie with the Mona Lisa. Fine, but it's a little more orderly.
It's orderly, and it was used to be just like a holy crap.
Just a everybody
fight
pack
to get to
around.
The front of the stage.
Yeah,
also, and then people are throwing stuff at it.
Yeah, it got caked the other a couple of months ago or whatever. So a little more control. But I just suspect. I've been in the NBA world, and I just know that there was some sort of PR thing, and Chuck Swirsky just gets to walk in and get a selfie with the fucking Mona Lisa, and it just made me angry. But that might not be the case, but it is very hard to imagine.
Wow.
Oh, Chuck Swirsky, I'm just walking around the Louvre by myself. Well, the day of the game, and I'm going to wait an hour and a half.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to find out.
Oh.
And you better hope that that's what happened, because if it didn't, and he waited hours in
then
lines,
I will eat
then you'll
this
be
hat.
Worse than
I will eat this hat.
You'll eat
how are
hat.
We gonna, how are we gonna find out?
Well, just tweet
ask
Chuck.
Him?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. I'll ask him.
He'll answer. He'll answer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why he wasn't a nominee for Worst of the Week, because we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure. I know. This is just me being angry, so I apologize.
Go check out the latest Is This Good podcast, because Matty O and JD had a a lengthy conversation about the Mona Lisa and whether it's even good to begin with. Matty-O had some thoughts. It was a very funny podcast.
Did we see any other players, Pistons, Bulls? I don't think so.
I didn't. Yeah.
If you're with us on YouTube,
such an awesome photo.
Yeah, JD, you might have to take worst of the week already.
Why?
I think Mona
Lisa says go Bulls.
I think Chuck waited. I'm gonna plant my flag
because I don't think anyone else took a photo. I didn't see anybody else.
I gotta check out my man. 34 billion.
The Bulls did their Eiffel Tower photo. Yep. The Pistons went to the opera. I didn't see anything about the Bulls at the museum.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. We should move on. This season, guys, NBA Top Shot has partnered with the NBA Players Association to identify the 50 players that have defined the season and the moments that will define their greatness. This is pretty cool. So the NBA Players Association Executive Committee, along with each team's player reps, were given the opportunity to vote on who has stood out amongst their peers. Mm-hmm. And again, define the season so far and as we go along. So we have the first wave of 10 players that were selected based on their performance from tip-off through the end of November. So here are the 10 selections so far. And I just want to stress, these are not the top 10. This is just the first wave of 10 players out of 50. It's not a ranking system. They'll just be 50 in total, and they'll come out in waves as the season goes on. So it's the first group of 10 players voted on again by the NBA Players Association. So you see them here. Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Ja Morant, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, and Steph Curry.
Good job.
All pretty good players.
Yeah, I got them in my top 50 as well.
Yeah. So no surprises here.
Not yet.
I mean, again, these are just the waves. So I guess it's a little weird that, like, where's Giannis, right?
Yeah.
Where's
LeBron,
Jokic?
Maybe.
Jokic. So
where's Jokic?
They're coming is the point, but that's the first wave.
If they get the votes.
If they get the votes. From the players, yes, themselves. But here's the cool part of this. Six of those names of the 10 right now up on Top Shot, we get to pick, like, as the fans, like, what will be the most iconic moment, like, from their season.
Okay.
To then turn into a Top Shot moment. So I thought we could go through the ones that are open to vote on. We'll see two moments of each player right now, and then we could, like, we can just basically place our votes. Oh, maybe Trey already did, actually, but hey.
Yeah, Skeets told me, hey, man, don't vote in this. I said, too late.
I couldn't believe it, Trey. I was like, what? Awesome.
The website looked awesome. I was like, this is cool.
It's cool once we click through. Yeah. So let's start with, I guess, Ja Morant there.
Yeah.
We'll make our way down. All right, so what do we have? We have to obviously sort of explain the moment for the audio listener.
Yeah, there's so many moments. This one is the 360 steal, if you remember.
Yeah.
He had his back to the inbounder, and as CJ McCollum inbounded the ball, he leapt, did a 360 in the air. It's like the ballet, went behind the back.
This is pretty smooth.
And then a layup at the other end.
Okay.
That is art. So right? That's better than the Mona Lisa
You're damn right it is.
That is beautiful.
that's jaw romance to me. Okay, I'm really trying to push that nickname. Okay, what's the other one? What we got here?
Yeah, it's in a tough spot here because the second choice for Ja Morant is massive dunk. Against the Indiana Pacers, one of many from Ja.
Wow, this is like last week.
January 14th game against the Pacers.
Oh, God, that's this week.
Yeah, and last said after this game, he's like, that's what everybody wanted, me to make a dunk. Because he's had so many of these highlights where he's cocking the ball back way far, then he gets fouled and misses the dunk.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, you can see the check mark in the top right. I voted for this one, Skeets.
Okay.
I think it's going to win because it has 89% of the vote now.
Yeah.
You gotta love steals. I mean, that's a great steal. But we're talking about one of the best.
That really is a highlight steal, right? You don't get a lot of highlight steals, but no, we're picking the dunk. Especially, the cock back there. Bang.
Yeah, that's okay. A good one.
Tatum. What we got for Tatum?
Yeah.
First play.
First play, Celtics-Lakers, December 13th. Tatum, ISO'd on LeBron James. Goes into his dribble package. Goes into his fake package.
God.
Hits the big.
Okay.
Big fadeaway. I think this was a pretty close game.
Yeah.
Against the Lakers. And of course, you got LeBron in the moment as well. That's a good one.
Okay. Feel like we see that shot from Tatum 3 times a game.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we know where Trey voted.
I love it. Yeah, this one's better.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry to say. A dunk from Jason Tatum
on
Christmas against Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Absolutely.
Oh, come on. Yeah, this is a no-brainer.
It's a blowout. Another blowout. 80-20 vote here, and I was with the people.
Oh, man. I mean, his two plays are against LeBron and Giannis.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think right now you got the perfect vote going.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Oh, nice reaction there from Time Lord, too.
All right, Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Joel Embiid's are both real moments, as in we're seeing multiple plays from the same game. His first one was against the Hawks. Makes a big shot. Then he plays defense on the other end to get the W. But his other reel, which I voted for, which has currently 85% of the votes, was from his 59-11-8-7 game.
Video game
against
numbers.
Against the Utah Jazz. Yeah, on the mustard court. The Fred's meat and bread court.
Oh, my God. The first moment is still going, by the way, because of the real variety. Yeah. The real, for those that don't know, in Top Shot vernacular, is like a bunch of plays within
melt
the same
footage,
game. A melt.
Say.
Yeah, good call. Yeah. Good call.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Wow. So,
there you go.
You know, what does that say that they had to go with reels for Joel Embiid? You know, he has big dunks. He has big blocks. But maybe not to the level of like a standalone sort of moment. You know what I mean?
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps. I think at least in the case of his 59-point game, he just wanted to show the entirety of one of the better.
Yeah, you're right.
I remember Skeets talking game score.
It was one of the greatest ever, right?
One of the greatest game scores of all time. 85% of the vote currently. Who's next? Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Let's open his voting. Uh-oh, I activated both at the same time.
Oh, no. That's all right. We'll watch the left. Okay.
We're watching the left.
Steal.
That's a double ender in Ellis parlance. Gets the block. Ball gets up to the court. Kevin Durant. He's still running. Oh, a big slammeroo.
Okay.
Big slammeroo.
Ooh.
On the right side, a three-pointer. Just a pull-up.
A little skip.
Against the Pistons.
A little skip on the Pistons logo.
Some sort
I like
of,
that.
You know, game winner or like go
26 ahead. Points I see here in the quarter.
Oh,
December 19th.
There you go.
And that was
go.
His final. And obviously we got the bench going crazy, Kyrie included.
This is a tough one.
This is a tough one. I didn't think there was a clear winner here. And this might be our closest spread. I'm not actually remembering totally. But 76-24, I went with the dunk.
You know what? I'm going the other one. I'm going to go with that 26-point quarter. Is that what you said?
Nice. Yeah, I think you should vote for that one.
That's a hell of a lot of points. Yeah, I haven't voted yet, so I'll fire up my stream here.
Split the votes.
Okay, two more.
That's good. Luka. He's had some... Oh, no. Sorry. Activate them both again. My bad. Oh, another close one. 71-29. We got his dunk where he freaked out after dunking on... Who is this? Eubanks? My guy Eubanks? Getting into the poster there at the last second.
Yeah.
And then Luka, blew his own mind that he did that, Doug. But the leader right now is his performance against the New York Knickerbockers. 61 points. Hits the crazy tip-in off the missed free throw. A triple-double as well. This one's high on the game score leaderboard as well.
Yeah. This should have, honestly, 99% of the vote. I know people like dunks, so that's why they're getting probably some votes on that other one. But this is... the free throw miss?
Yep.
The game itself?
I'm taking the dunk.
Really?
Yeah, it's the better highlight.
Look at this hilarious celebration in the one where he gets the free throw to, miss.
I'm not here for a free throw. I'm here for a jam. The other one's long. The reels, I don't know about these reels. Sure. They're great, obviously, but I'm here for a moment.
You want a moment?
Yeah.
Please send individual moments.
Moans.
All right, here we go.
Please
last
send votes.
One, last one. I'm going to do my best to not activate both at the
same
time.
Yeah, stay to the
there
left.
There we go, to the
there
left.
You go, there you go.
Hemi Carter?
Our first Hemi Carter, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. This was this a game winner against the Trailblazers early in the season, December 19th? That's got 70% of the vote.
Yeah, that's great.
His other, though, is the Hemi Carter game winner against the Washington Wizards.
Wow.
The first one was December 19th. The other one was November 16th.
Recency bias. You got to go November 16th, I think.
I think this is such a better shot. He's shaking and baking. I remember we were talking on the show, Tass. You said he had, who is that, Morris? He had him set up twice. He could have taken the first three.
Right.
He just waited. Went for the step back.
So
the
hold on.
Side.
You guys are saying the step back three.
Number two
Carter?
Here.
I disagree. Here's why. I think when it's all said and done at the end of this year and he's an all-star finally, we're going to remember it like, wow, this guy barely took threes. And this guy did all of his work
okay.
within that three-point line, getting to his spots, obviously getting to the free throw line. So I'm going to vote for that first one, that
respect.
Little baseline. Nice. I like the celebration that went down a little bit more, too, in that game.
Well, unfortunately, he didn't nickname himself after any former U.S. presidents after that one.
No, you're right.
Disqualified.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a great celebration with the Hemi as well.
That's true. He's just throwing stuff. Okay, that's good.
All right.
Two good choices.
I like this.
Yeah, this is good.
This is fun. Get your votes in there for the Top Shot 50. So I guess we will then soon get the moments, and maybe a part of it is because of injury with some of them, or they can't decide, but like AD, Devin Booker, Jalen Brown, and Steph Curry. I mean, no shortage of... I guess Steph Curry's... Half-court bomb might be one of them when we get to it. We'll see. All right. Top Shot 50. That's a blast. Hopefully we'll continue to do that once we get those waves that continue to come from the Players Association. Got to take our last break. When we come back, pick 'em results and rapid-fire fun.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, here in the Classic Factory still, pick 'em results. I got one right, baby! Oh my god, I was terrified I was going to cover when they got to overtime. I was like, I'm going to lose this. I took the Warriors. They were the dogs. Celtics had to win by 7 or more. You know, I thought the Warriors were going to win the game at the end. Then I'm like, who cares? Just lose at the end of regulation. As long as they cover, I'm fine. Goes to overtime. Celtics had like a 7 or 8 point lead. And I was like, oh, no. But in the end, the Warriors covered. So
Horford blew it with that three-shot foul on Wiggins.
Yeah. Oh, that was a weird... I couldn't believe they didn't overturn that.
Yeah.
That was a surprising one.
They said he touched him. Did he, though?
Maybe elbow?
I guess he must have grazed him. And then Wiggins hit two of the three, too, which is pretty important. Anyway, I got a rare win here in January because I took the Warriors to cover. 4-9. Loss for Tassi, 6-7. Trey, 9-4 with that loss. With tonight's game.
Big sked tonight. Huge sked. We got some goodies. Knicks, Hawks, Warriors, Cavs, Heat, Mavericks. That one's on ESPN. Pacers, Nuggets. Another one on ESPN is the one we're picking. Grizzlies at Lakers. Lakers are getting 6.5 points at home. So the Grizzlies got to go into LA and win by 7. Mm-hmm. Skeets, you think they can do it? While myself and Trey think the Lakers can keep it close as they have been.
That's true.
Four heartbreakers in a row. Pretty close, anyways.
They're due to get their ass kicked by the team that's won 11 straight. That's going to put on a show. John Morant in L.A.? Let's go. The Lakers got to keep it close for you guys.
Yeah. More like three heartbreakers in a row, I should say. But three losses. They're three losses. Doit. That's why I think they can cover. We shall see.
All right. I got the Grizzlies. Got to win by 7 or more on the road there in L.A. against the Lakers. The other guys have the other team. Let's end this rapid fire. Nope. Let's end this podcast. Yep. With some rapid fire fun. JD, you got the questions. We got the answers.
Yeah. There was a hilarious misunderstanding on Wednesday when Kevin Durant told Stan Van Gundy that he was spitting facts, as in spitting facts.
Yeah.
Stan Van thought it was a bad thing. So my question to you is, what are the kids saying these days that you just don't get, Skeets?
Well, I've learned a lot of phrases that are popular with the kids from watching Love Island UK. I got a few of them here for you guys. What do you think it means, Tass, when somebody says, he's been ignoring me all evening, think I've been pied? What does pied mean?
Is it ghosted?
It's sort of dumped. Yeah, usually in an appalling manner. You got pied.
It feels like you took a pie to the face?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. Just sort of humiliated.
That's awesome.
What about, I've just seen them talking to somebody else. I feel mugged off. What's mugged off?
Annoyed and offended.
Disrespected.
Okay.
Embarrassed, yeah, usually sure, publicly. Sure. Okay. Mugged off.
This is British.
Yeah.
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 And then I love this one anytime they say it. A lot of this comes up on Love Island Australia too, but I like them. I need to get grafting.
Oh.
Grafting.
I love grafting.
What does it mean?
You know, like building bonds. But also somehow on Love Island, grafting means making coffee.
Yeah.
That's like the number one way to graft on Love Island is by making your paramour coffee in the morning. So ever since we started watching it, you know, we're only 30 episodes in of the 66. Every morning I make coffee. I'm like, for Laura, I'm like, here, I grafted this for you.
That's grafting very nice. For you. Oh. Yeah, working hard to show someone yeah. that they're that you're interested in yeah. them. Sort of, you're almost flirting, but yeah, just doing yeah. nice things. Again, this is like not really answering your question, I would say, JD, but same ballpark.
That's good, yeah.
Right?
I was
right.
entertained regardless.
There you go.
Tassie.
Well, the phrase main character energy. I'm not into it because it's not black and white.
Mm. What do you mean?
Well, main character energy means that a person is sort of stepping into their light, living their life, being the featured person, and establishing themselves, which is fine
yeah,
if that's
like
what it was.
It
does,
yeah.
but according to articles, it's only 55% good. It's 45% bad because that person can also be sort of full of themselves, a little
right.
too much, narcissistic,
right.
or whatever. I don't want my slang to be nuanced.
Oh.
Get out of here. You know, it's black or white. You hate it or like it. So, and then you throw in a side character energy into this, like, and then I'm just done. So that person, oh, I don't even want to get into that one. That person is just, you know, not taking over the limelight, but not doing enough. But should I like that person or should I not? That one's even more odd. Like, I really don't know what that
one is. I agree.
Like.
It's sort of NPC. Shallow. A side character is just written to be, to support, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, they're just shallow. There's nothing other than what you're seeing. That's what I get.
Yeah,
as a
but,
side
like,
character.
To go back to the main character energy term, you're yeah. right. It's like, from your own perspective, if you were to say it, I want to be a main character energy. Yeah. Like, I want to have that. That's good. Like, I want to be, like, take control of my life and be the star, as everybody should. But then if somebody says that about you, it could come across as it's all about them.
I would totally be offended.
Jesus. Yeah, right. I would be offended. Right. So it does depend. Yeah.
I'm an ensemble player over here.
So you got side character energy?
I guess so.
It's literally
you know
to
it's
the side
thing.
Of us on
I
this
am.
Podcast.
It's
no, you're not. You're not.
No.
This is so, it's so, yeah.
There you go. It's all about me now.
Yeah, all right.
Right, yeah. Thank you. You're really
way
controlling
to step in,
it.
Way to step into your power, JD.
All right.
All right.
Trey.
I've got a few. Giving. Like, reminds me of, so, like, I don't know. Tass is wearing a Henley. It's given dock worker vibes.
Okay.
Given. You know? Okay, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a
given,
weird one to
that's
me.
That's a weird one, because it's all, another word.
Yeah. Guy with a big beard and a Carhartt hat. It's given January 6th energy.
Oh,
that kind of thing.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it could be anybody. Another one that's surprising to me, heart hands. Heart
uh-huh.
hands have replaced the traditional I love you symbol.
Huh.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, this is an emoji now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
You make
I
a,
do like
make
it.
A good
yeah, I like
hand.
It.
Everyone can do it, man.
Hey, put it a little lower with your red. Go back to him
okay.
there. Yeah, with your red. Looks good.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so heart hands. But the most confusing one to me was watching, like, TikTok basketball players. And people in the comments would be like, oh, he's selling. He's selling out there. It's like, what does that mean?
Mm.
Choking, especially in a video game, making a dumb or unforced error, getting carried, being a bot, throwing. Bro, you're selling so hard right now. My back hurts from carrying you so much.
Selling, wow. When you first said it, I was like, almost sounds positive.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's selling the goods.
Yeah.
It's bad when you got to go to Urban Dictionary to figure out what these kids are saying.
Learn something new here.
Selling.
Awesome.
Kids today. Okay. Move over, Saint Sexy Saint Jeff.
Oh, the candle.
Yeah, the candle. This is what we. This is our main prop on the No Buffs podcast because it's moving over because CBS just added this life-size Jeff Probst cardboard cutout standee to its online store, which we are absolutely ordering. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I'm not sure where we're going to put it, but it's going in
this...
I'm
just
going
to, like...
I'll be behind you guys.
On the desk. Us. On just the like deck. The candle.
Is that the pure random? Yeah.
Well, I'll just put him... put him behind me, like, where Ash,
yeah.
Ash stand right there, and then you'll be Jeff...
Yeah, Jeff there's Jeff Probst.
Yeah, go on the other side.
There you go. Yeah, we'll put him... Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it'll look great.
JD, JK, JP?
Wow.
Yeah, so anyways, we're definitely getting it. So my question to you is, what's something awesome but stupid you simply had to or must have, Skeets?
Well, yeah, with that Probst cardboard cutout, it is literally in my to-do list today. It says, buy Probst cardboard cutout. So that is happening. We will have that for No Buffs, which returns in early March. But yeah, something awesome but stupid I had to have... I actually don't buy a lot of dumb crap, if I'm being honest. I don't generally like to. But fancy ice cube makers,
ooh,
like trays, got some for the holidays too, but you don't need that. No. It's all ice.
It's all ice.
But I sort of like it if I'm having a nice scotch at night. You know, the fancy, it looks so like a cocktail ice. Looks
so you're
expensive.
Talking like the massive cube.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's got to be a massive cube.
And do you get it clear, like completely clear through?
Well, I don't care that much. I'm not boiling my water and then filling it. I'm not doing that. Yeah. But it does look cool, this one especially that I got. I'll have to show you guys or take a photo. But fancy ice cube trays.
Love a big cube.
Big cubes are great.
Tessie.
Well, recently, I got a Funko Pop, Vince Carter Funko Pop from her man, JK. And now I love it. I didn't think I needed it, but it's also a Funko Pop with the slam cover of Vince Carter's rookie year, where the caption is rookie of the year, no doubt, asterisk. It's so strange.
Wow.
And the asterisk is, there may be a little doubt. Was there doubt?
They walked it back there in the slam office that day, eh?
Come on. Yeah, anyway, it's cool. It's a cool Funko Pop edition because it's got little holes in it so you can hang the actual cover.
Oh, I see,
So
that's cool.
Oh, that's
yeah,
neat.
So that's neat.
That's okay. Very cool.
Are you going to collect these Funko Pops characters now?
No, sir.
Why not?
You know, I just don't. I've gotten rid of a lot of my memorabilia. Although I do have some of the NBA 75 Canada hard courts.
Oh yeah, you bought
those. Those are up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're up. They're featured. But it's hard. Like I had like a Paul Molitor, who I love, Paul Molitor. I had a photo / card display thing.
Yeah.
It's like, Pauly Molly, where am I gonna put
you?
In the office?
You need...
Knock, knock, knock. Hammering Pauly Molly into the wall. I doubt it.
You need the games room or the man cave, if you want to call it that. If you don't have that, where are you putting that stuff? I'm sort of
exactly. I'm not caving, so I hear you. It would be nice. It would be nice there. Everybody come over with their slippers and sit in the man cave.
But, I'll bring the ice.
Exactly.
All right, Trey, what's something awesome but stupid you simply had to have or must have? Anyway, you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I'm familiar. I don't remember if this was a Trey Young interview or a Steph Curry interview, but they were talking about the fact that they're able to shoot from so far away, and a big part of it was like, hand grip strengtheners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I got a five pack.
five pack? You only got two hands, bro.
Yeah, but think of all the different disciplines. You got the classic hinge. You got the little one that, like, for individual fingers. Nice one.
A trumpet one.
You got a ball. Weak.
Yeah.
You got a donut. What? I don't understand. That one's too close to the ball. And then the wild one, it's like five individual circles. Attached by a thing to open your hand.
Oh, even tougher.
Ooh, carpal tunnel style. So, I don't know. Hopefully by the end of this year, I'm able to hit 30-footers or at least open every single jar.
Yeah.
Those are my two goals.
Or be like a badass ventriloquist or something.
Yeah.
The best Muppeteer of all time. All right, guys, last one. This week, we celebrated the 17th anniversary of this very show. 17 years! Kind of amazing. And yet, we barely acknowledged it. In fact, Skeets forgot all about it.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, 17 is kind of meh somehow, mm-hmm. right? When you've been in the game this long, maybe you should just acknowledge it every 5 years. I don't know. Anyway, the question is, What's something else that should only be celebrated every 5 years, Skeets?
I believe I said this before, but birthdays. Mm. Once you've reached the age of 25. After 25, we celebrate it every 5 years.
Yeah.
We're not doing, you're getting too old at that point. We're not doing 26, 27, 28, 29. We'll wait until 30, then we celebrate. Then we do 35, we do 40. You know, but we go up to 25 because I was going to say 20, but here in the States, 21, legal drinking age. That makes sense. That's fine. You're still young. You still got all the energy.
You're missing out on 26, 27, 28, 29.
Why?
Well, I was extremely immature in my early 20s, and still immature in my late 20s. Still want to have some fun.
Yeah, but couldn't you argue, like, they were probably fine birthdays?
Yeah.
I knew you. I don't remember them. But anyway, but you could argue.
Because I didn't celebrate them.
You could argue not having celebrated the 26 through 29. Man, we would have had a banger at 30. All that built up birthday celebration.
Main character energy. Yeah.
Birthdays, especially when you get that old. You don't need them every year.
That's a good one.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
Tess.
I think you'll agree with this one too, JD, because you don't celebrate your marriage.
Nah.
But every 5 years, I think would be reasonable. Then you'd actually celebrate. I think after, you can celebrate it every year until you get to 10.
Yeah.
But then after that, no need. Every five, and then you'll actually do it. Because what were you at, JD, that you didn't celebrate? Wasn't it a milestone?
Just now, 20 years.
And you didn't.
Well, I mean, it could be argued that our trip to Europe was part of the, it was part of the justification of it.
Sure.
You know? But, you know, whatever. We had some champagne, but that was it. You know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know that
we celebrate every goddamn day around here.
Our 17th anniversary for the show. Do you know what the wedding anniversary gift is?
No.
Does anybody have an idea?
Nah, would. I only look it up
very
every
close.
Year.
Very close. Furniture.
Wow.
We should have bought like a nice rocking chair.
We did. The Jeff Standy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's furniture in a way.
Maybe a nice
decorative.
Chesterfield or an Ottoman.
Jeez.
Always quoting the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah. Whenever I can. Whenever I can. And you're the only one who gets it.
I am, and I appreciate it every single time. Trey, what should only be celebrated every 5 years?
We only need award shows every 5 years. Hmm. Look back. What did people actually watch for the past 5 years? You can't name a single best picture in the last 5 years.
No, the one where the fish had sex with the woman.
You can't name it.
Did that? Love and Water? Love and what now?
I don't know what it is. Sex Fish.
What is it called?
That's a very best picture. This is what I'm saying.
I know it won.
Movies come out, people talk about them, then they forget about them completely. Same with music. Same with literally everything. So if you do it for 5 years, you'll like actually get 10 movies that people care about rather than throwing Sound of Metal in the Best Picture nominees.
Right. Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
Which
it.
Probably won about 5 years ago at this point.
I like this idea.
So oh, 2017 film.
So you're saying every 5 years, there's a nominations for five Best Pictures. There's only five nominees.
Okay.
Out of the
sure,
five.
Yeah.
One a year.
One a year, basically.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
That'd be hard.
I like that a lot. Because then you have the perspective, right?
Yeah.
Did that's true. That's
are we
good
still
point.
Talking about this 5 years later, 3 years later, whatever?
Yeah. Like that. And you don't get those November, December movies that recency bias. Oh, yeah. Let's throw it on the list.
Yeah. You're
does
right.
it still hold up a couple years from now?
That's pretty good.
After other movies?
Yeah.
All right.
I like it.
Those are all great answers, guys.
Guys, great answers this week.
What a week for Rapid Fire. That's it. For RF, that's it for the Drop Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining us live here on YouTube. Hit that like button. Subscribe if you haven't. Get our subscription numbers, up to 70K by All-Star Weekend. That would be one hell of an achievement. Let's do it. Share the show with your friends. If you're a podcast listener, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Helps us out in terms of rankings and for other NBA fans to find the show. If you are going to be in Salt Lake City or you live there, come join us live February 17th, 8 p.m. at the Urban Lounge. That is the Friday night of All-Star Weekend. And we're going to have a blast with everybody that can make it out. Tickets available in the description notes of this podcast. And, of course, they're in the YouTube description as well. Just click on that link. Get yourself a ticket. There's VIP packages if you want to splurge a little bit. Maybe for an anniversary gift. Bring your significant other to the No Dunks Live Show.
Paper is one of them. Paper is one of the early anniversary gifts.
Yeah,
that's a good gift. Tickets.
But we probably don't have real paper tickets.
Yeah, you gotta print it. Gotta print the receipt. That's I don't like that, actually.
Wait,
I'm gonna order you something. It won't be here in time, so I'm just gonna print the receipt and give it to you.
Yeah.
Just like that. Just like opening it. Nah, it's like opening a picture of it.
It's true. I've gotten a few of those over my time here.
It's
on
tough.
Earth. Yeah, but it's the thought that counts, right?
You know? You should write that on the outside of the package if you do it. Yeah. It's the thought that counts. Open this piece of paper. Tear the paper off this paper.
To see like a crappy printout. Like it's usually not a great printer either, you know?
You're like printing an email, which always looks weird.
I've gotten that before too. Okay. All right. Anyway, yeah, we'll see you hopefully in Salt Lake City. And of course, we'll see you on Monday right here from the Classic Factory, 10 a.m. Eastern live with our NBA weekend winners and losers. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Trey took me back with the Shape of Water talk there. Lady Bird was robbed by the Shape of
Water.
Was
it that year, was it?
That was the last year I watched movies. So, yes.
He was so upset that Lady Bird
I stopped watching movies.
I'm done with movies.
I did like that animal having sex with that woman, though. I did.
I never saw it.
Spoiler. Embrace the weekend, people.